other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, March 31st, and we're back.
Good morning.
Charlotte, we're back.
We are back for another week.
Yes. I'll be damned, we're back. We weren't here Friday.
As we go into April.
I know, March 31st. Yeah. Wow. I know. Which means upcoming is tax month.
Yes.
Taxes, where you have to do the taxes by April 15th. I think most people, though, get an extension, don't you think?
Yeah. Stressful time of year.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that, but people think it's like if you take an extension, you don't have to pay, but you have to pay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just file later and stuff.
So it really, yeah, it just costs you.
Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, they just give you like interest and finance charges and stuff like that, you know. So, I don't know, you know, every time I get a letter from the IRS or something, it's like, you know, I don't want to open it, you know, because it's never good news.
Never.
Yeah. The IRS, if you don't know, it's never good news. So, don't open the
envelope. I totally agree. I, like, dread them. Every time I get it, oh, it's the worst. Because you know something's gone wrong and you have to do it again.
Yeah. And they found something, yeah, yeah. And you probably owe money or something, yeah. You know. That's usually the case. They never come back to you and say, oh, we took too much money from you.
No.
Let us give it back to you. That doesn't happen. Huh? But you know what? I mean, income taxes here are a lot easier and lower than in many places in the world, you know. And I know that in Europe, especially in the UK, they pay really high income tax. And that's what caused, I don't know how it is now, but I remember when I was young, a lot of British musicians and artists and stuff would move away so they don't have to pay such high taxes, because they had like when you're rich, they had like 70% bracket or
something. It's insane. It's absolutely
it's really insane. You know?
I remember I was talking to my mom about taxes late last year, and I was looking up the percentage, and because I didn't really know. And she was like, it's probably going to be about this percentage. And it was, I think it was like a quarter of what she said. And she was in shock.
Really?
She was like, I need to move to America ASAP.
Yeah, I'm telling you. We complain here. But, you know, the same thing with gasoline. You know, we complain it's high here and stuff. But you go to any other place in the world and it costs double.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. You know, not like 25 cents or more, but double.
And, yeah, that's true also.
Yeah, and I don't know how people can pay that. But they do, you know, they don't have a choice.
No, because even here, the gas is so much more expensive than in Florida.
Yeah.
When my friend came to visit, she couldn't believe how expensive it was.
Yeah. But and like what? Like 50 cents or something, right?
No, it's like over a dollar.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you want to tell me that sometimes they pay less than $3 a gallon?
Yeah.
Really?
280 something.
Wow.
Is what it was when she was here.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
Yeah,
how
I know.
How insane.
We sure picked a great place to live, let me tell you. With earthquakes, too, you know, to boot.
Oh, my gosh. Where were you on Friday?
Friday I was at home, and I felt it.
You did?
Yeah, I did feel it, and I think I posted. Was that the Friday post? I don't know. Because Saturday there was a shaker too. Like a little jolt, you know?
It's getting me really nervous because I think there's going to be I think there's a bigger one coming. But Friday, I was at dinner with about 15 people and only one person felt it.
Really?
And it wasn't until like 20 minutes after that someone was like, everyone's talking about an earthquake, that my friend was like, I felt it. I thought I was drunk, but I felt it.
Wow.
She's like, I'm not drunk.
Yeah. No, the one Friday was actually pretty strong. It went for a few seconds, you know?
And it was more like a roll, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, it was a roll. And yeah, it's funny. People probably laugh at like the different terms we have for earthquakes and stuff. But yes, we have different terms for earthquakes here because we live in earthquake country. Just like they say, I guess Eskimos have like 15 words for snow or something, you know, to describe every funny. Kind of ice there is, you know.
Do you think there's a bigger one coming?
You know, I think it's inevitable, you know. But the thing is, I'm hoping that these are like releasing the pressure gradually. That would be cool.
Yeah.
If we get small ones. But, you know, the thing is, they're saying there was some damage and stuff, you know.
Well,
like,
I watched the news last night and there was, I think there was over 26 aftershocks.
Really?
From that. Because that the epicenter was further south.
Oh, okay.
I think it was near Long Beach, maybe.
Yeah.
Or Irvine area. And the damage was insane.
Yeah.
Cupboards flown out.
Really?
And pots and pans smashed everywhere.
Yeah. The epicenter was in Orange County this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I went home or I was home and that happened, I have no idea what I would do.
Really? You would freak out?
I would totally freak out.
Wow. So you better be prepared for that.
I'm so scared.
Just emotionally, yeah.
I know. Literally will be petrified. Yeah. But I heard you should stand in a door frame.
Right.
That's the best place.
Yeah, or under a table bed. or something like that. But like I said again, you know, if it's pretty serious, all that's not going to help, you know.
I know.
But
see, that scares me too. If everything comes tumbling down,
yeah.
Oh my God, if I'm by myself, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, you're in a big apartment complex. You're not going to be by yourself. There's going to be people there.
Yeah, but I'm not on the top floor, so that scares me.
Yeah.
I mean, someone's going to come tumbling on top of me.
you don't know how which way it's going to go down. So, you know.
So they, it goes.
So don't
I, see, I don't know much about earthquakes. The buildings fall differently. They don't just...
Yeah, I don't know if they collapse every time, you know. I mean, it's hard to know, you know. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. But, yeah, if you're too nervous, you should live here.
It gives me anxiety.
But in Florida, you had, like, hurricanes and stuff, right?
Yeah, but that's like, you know it's coming. You can leave if you want and drive further north.
Right.
You know, whereas this, you have no idea when it's going to hit.
That's true,
and it really scares me.
I don't blame you. I'm getting scared, too, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, every time if I drive under... You know, when you go under the freeway underpass and stuff, you know, it's like concrete above you. And you go, what if this collapses on us?
Seriously, you know? If you're in traffic and you're stuck under the bridge for like 2 minutes, who knows? The earthquake could hit right then.
Exactly.
I probably sound stupid, but I'm just really, I've never lived somewhere where there's earthquakes. I mean...
Yeah.
It really scares me.
You need to reevaluate where you live.
I know, right?
Yeah. But it's, you know, I mean, look, they've been talking about the big one for like decades, probably centuries. So, you know, people always talk about the end of the world, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen where it's really devastating, you know. It's, you know, because this town is pretty much prepared as far as building and things like that, you know. It's not going to be a complete surprise. But at the same time, you know, we have to, you know, we have to understand that this is where we live. And you know, and consider the consequences. And if you're not comfortable with it, you should move.
Los Angeles kind of the middle part where the earthquakes kind of are surrounded by? Or because I thought it was further north.
No, actually, we're sitting atop of it. I mean, you saw that, like, you know, the first one we had last week on that Monday, that was, I mean, right here, that was in the valley, centered in the valley. And, the Northridge one was pretty close to here too, you know, so it was definitely in LA. So, I mean, you know, and that's a funny thing. It's like, you wonder why would people build a city here? But, you know, when they started, they didn't know about earthquakes,
true.
I'm sure.
That's very true.
When all those 49ers came to California to dig for gold and stuff, the gold rush, I'm sure they didn't consider earthquakes. They're like, we're here for the gold. And then they stayed.
When I was watching the news last night about the earthquake, there was a car chase from, it went down to Long Beach from Saddleback College. And it was... I mean, it was a legit car chase from a cop and a couple cops and this SUV.
Right.
And it was like really interesting to watch. I was like, really? Oh my God, like, why doesn't this, like, why don't they just stop? I'm right. super confused. Like, just stop. Like, you're going to get caught at some point.
Well, that's welcome what, to LA. You see, that's yeah. what we laugh about all the time.
Right.
And they interrupt all live programming to show you that.
Completely.
Right?
It's breaking news.
Yeah. Like car chases. Yeah. I know.
And the cops like bumping because they're going through, they started on the 405, but then they're going through suburbs.
Right.
So they're not on. He never went through a red light. Uh-huh. All the lights were...
And he would just stop at the red light?
Or no, what? They were all green.
Really?
Luckily.
Wow.
Luckily, they were all yeah. green. And the cop car was bumping the back of the SUV and nothing. And finally, yeah. After about 20 minutes, the car stopped at a house.
Uh-huh.
And two people got out and ran inside this house. But obviously, on the way to running inside the house, they got arrested.
Right.
And
even if they got into the house, I mean, come on.
What are you going to do? You're going to get arrested at some point when you decide to leave, or the right. cops are going to break down the door. I have no idea why they wouldn't stop. Obviously, yeah. there's something sketchy about it, but nothing's been put up yet about why that happened.
Yeah.
But I was just watching this car chase, and I was like, this is funny.
Yeah, that's entertainment. I know, and you wonder, I mean, you know, why? I mean, obviously, they should stop, you know, because they always get caught. I mean, you know, you're outnumbered by the police. There's a helicopter or two above you.
Exactly, and that was what the view is from, a helicopter.
Right.
And it was just, you just look so much more guilty when you keep yeah, going.
Exactly.
Maybe it was just, I don't know, marijuana possession or who knows what. Well,
or maybe they were
drunk. Probably wasn't, you know, that, because yeah. you can be legal here, but...
Not driving, though. I mean, it's
true.
Still... Yeah,
true.
It's still considered under the influence if you drive on pot, although it's harder to prove you're high.
But I just didn't...
Yeah. No, I'm sure that maybe there were criminals, gang members, mm-hmm. who knows, you know?
Yeah.
It could be a million reasons why they don't want to get stopped.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, you know, when you're a criminal, you do stupid things, illegal things... You know, don't get caught, you know, don't stand out, you know. If you have shit in your car and stuff, mm-hmm. don't drive fast, you know.
Yeah.
That's just a rule of thumb, you know. If you don't do anything illegal, you won't get stopped. But mm-hmm. if you stand out, and that's another thing about LA that people don't understand. We've got like millions and millions of cars here. And obviously, you know, maybe thousands of cops. So... You know, and many of the cops are not really traffic cops and stuff like that. So I don't know how many there are really. But, I mean, your chances of getting pulled over are pretty low.
Yeah.
You know. And yet people still get pulled over because they don't realize you don't want to stand out in traffic.
Exactly. If you have a brake light out, get it fixed.
Yeah.
Like if you don't speed.
Right.
Don't.
That's the problem with the speeding. You know, mm-hmm. that's how you stand out, because you start changing lanes and stuff and it's easy to see you.
Yeah.
You know, so because what happens is you try to go faster than the traffic, and then it gets frustrating, and you stand out like a sore thumb.
And
you know?
So many people these days are contacting the police saying, this car's driving dangerously, you should watch out, he's going this north on the 405, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, people can report other
yeah,
people now.
And they can get your tag number. And
right.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's crazy, but, you know, the that's why... It turns out that the average speed limit here when there's light traffic, when you go the full speed, is about maybe 75 to 80 miles an hour. That's what the traffic goes at when it's not slowing down, at least in my experience. Every freeway is also different, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like there's no rules, but that's the way it just turns out. So, for example, if I drive on one freeway, and I'm used to driving 80, but then suddenly the traffic is like at 70, I'm not going to drive 80, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just not going to stand out. And I'm not doing anything illegal,
yeah.
but I don't want to get pulled over.
And in LA, I mean, I take 6 highways to get to one of my jobs.
Wow.
And
6? Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I just can't speak because I'm going so many different. I have to go from, like, the first lane to the end lane.
Uh-huh.
Like lane 1 to lane 4 to get to the junction, and then, you know, and I'm going yeah. through downtown and wherever.
Oh,
so it's like crazy. Like I don't know how some people speed so much because you just have to change so many lanes, so many highways.
Yeah.
And you're not on a certain highway. You might not be on there for that long, but you're still managing to go 60 and cut across all the lanes. And right. My friend just totaled her car because this lady was cutting across four lanes and completely just wiped her out.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's stupidity. You know, I mean, who does that?
Yeah.
You know, but that's the problem also with drivers is, you know, anybody can be a driver. You know, so you get all the stupid asses also mm-hmm. on the road, and they drive like crap, and they risk people, you know, and they risk lives and stuff, and they don't realize that. So some people should not be driving.
Agreed.
That's what I think.
Well, the driving age is so young in America.
Yeah, that's
in England,
true.
It's...
Like 18
yeah,
to start?
Yeah, I think you can... I don't even remember. You can get your permit at 17, I think.
Uh-huh.
But here, I mean, I have... My friend's brother is 15, and he's about to start and get in a car. And I'm like, at 15 years old, you're about to get in a car? Yeah. Like that, I'm just blown away.
I know. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, it's important because we live in such a car culture, especially in L.A. You know, there's not a lot of public transportation, and it's not convenient here at all. And, you know, when you drive on the freeway, that's when you realize why we're having such problems here, because every car has only one person in it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what happens. I mean, you know, every person has a car, you're going to get a lot of traffic like
and
that.
Because you can't really carpool because, I mean, when people live together, like a boyfriend, girlfriend, right. The likeliness of them going to the same place in L.A. is probably like 5%.
Yeah, that's true.
So they can't carpool, really. But and the carpool lane is always empty.
Yeah.
Like, I never really see it that busy.
Yeah.
I mean, at rush hour, yeah, a little busier. But it's always better to go in that lane and you'll always get there faster.
Yeah.
Because no one is really driving
exactly.
with more than one person.
Not many people are driving in the carpool lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. So, yeah, that's a story about California. But they're constantly widening the freeways. I don't know if you noticed, but some freeways are getting widened.
Uh-huh.
And
I have
stuff
noticed,
like that.
Yeah.
And,
which is a good thing.
It is a good thing. But by the time they build them, we're gonna have so much more traffic. It'll be the same thing, you know.
It's so true. They take forever.
You just have to catch up with it, you know. So, I mean, in L.A., you know, you get so many new cars. Everybody's driving a new car here. So where do all the old cars go, all the used cars? They don't, you know, people don't just throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
So you get more and more cars on the roads every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, with no cars really retired, you know, they just keep on driving and driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get stacked up for a rainy day.
Yeah.
And a family wants to drive a different car.
Yeah. I know, you know. And another thing about the earthquake, going back to that, it's people are saying, yeah, prepare, have water, have supplies. But... You know what? I mean, yeah, that may help, but what if you're not home, you know? And if you're home and you're at a point where you don't have water, you're in deep doo-doo anyway.
Wait,
I don't
why
think
do
if
you have
you're
to get supplies?
Like in case something happens, like for example, if the water mains break, then you'll need water, you know?
Huh, interesting. Yeah. I should probably go to the grocery store
That's
and
true.
Get some.
And, yeah, and get some canned food and mm-hmm. things that last, you know, preserve
yeah.
it. And
yeah,
things like that, you know, mm-hmm. because they also have earthquake kits, you know, you should maybe check that out. They have some, I think, first aid and water and things like that.
I was wondering if I had earthquake insurance, too. I've seen it on papers, documents around my apartment, but I don't know if I have it or if I don't.
Oh,
I should probably get that.
Yeah. I mean, can you get it in an apartment, though, I'm wondering?
Yeah.
Really?
But I don't know which insurance policy it's through.
Right.
It's not through my apartment or anything. It would be insurance that I have myself.
Right, right. But I would do that if you have a lot of property. I mean, I don't know if they cover, like, bodily injury
really?
Or something. Or
well,
maybe they do.
Even
maybe
just, like... Do. Personal belongings.
Right.
I mean, if my shoes got destroyed, I'd
oh
be
my God.
So sad.
Yeah. Okay, well, our guest is calling. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Jordan Pease.
Yeah, Jordan Pease. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
How's it going? Good. Sorry, I think I was calling your cell phone before.
Yeah, you were, and I noticed that, and I'm like, who's calling me? And then I realized what the time was and that you called
yeah.
twice, and I thought, I bet you that's Jordan calling my other number. So,
no
but,
worries.
Yeah.
I was calling your beeper.
Yeah. Well, no, not my beeper. It's my cell phone. So, yeah.
I know, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know. How many beepers do people still have, you know?
I know.
Is that a pager?
If they were still around, I would totally have one. Seems like a good time.
Yeah, I know. Where are you calling us from this morning, Jordan?
I'm actually in L.A. for once. It feels good to be in Los Angeles home.
Oh, wow, nice. That's pretty cool. So what are you doing here, visiting, working?
Oh, no, I'm a comedian, so I travel all the time and stuff. And then I'm always on the road doing shows and stuff. So whenever I have a couple shows in L.A., it feels good to be in Los Angeles for like a week or two.
That's true, absolutely.
Do you have a show coming up in L.A.?
I do. I have, let's see, on April 2nd, I'm at Flappers in Burbank.
Oh, yeah, Flappers is very popular. Yeah, so you go
it's
to the
right
place.
Yeah. And then April 11th, I'm at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal.
Right.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, so you're around the valley. You should have come in the studio. I don't know if I did I invite you to come to the studio, or did we?
I think so. I wasn't sure if I was going to be here. That's why I was like trying to work out some show dates. So I was like, let's just do it over the phone.
That's
but
true.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course, yeah. And next time, you're definitely welcome to come. Well, I don't know if you're welcome yet. Let's see how much fun you are.
I have to convince you first.
Yeah. So you're a comedian. And where do you live then, Jordan?
I live in Los Angeles, like right over in the Mid-Wilshire area, kind of by the Grove.
Oh, I see. So you do live here. So you're not just visiting here.
I see. I have to live within a 2-mile walking distance of a gay bar so I could stumble my way home.
So you're like in North Hollywood? I mean, West Hollywood and stuff?
I'm more of a, it doesn't really matter. I'm more of a dive bar person. As long as there's like a dive bar with a bar stool and a beer on tap, I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't be too picky when a lot of my shows are like in Idaho or Wyoming. So right. I will find a break wherever I can find one.
So you're a comedian. It says here you were born in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
How was it living up there?
It was good. I mean, Jersey's an awesome place to grow up. I don't think it's like an amazing place to spend your whole life.
Right.
But, I mean, it's awesome because it's like, I mean, you get all four seasons. It's not the prettiest state, but I grew up right outside New York. So it was like, to me, it was like a whole different life. When I was like 14, it was like, let's take subways into New York by ourselves and party and just like, you know what I mean, live the wild teenage life. And New York City was so accessible that it was like, after just like growing up so close to New York and being able to go to the beach and stuff like that, it kind of like mentally prepares you for anything, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So I feel like I saw it all and did it all at a young age, you know?
Yeah. That's true.
I loved growing up in Jersey. It was like, I mean, it gives you like a really hard, hard exterior. I feel like you can't really be shocked and you can't really be let down. I really enjoyed it. It's fun. You get all four seasons. You can go snowboarding. You can go to the beach. It's a good place to grow up. I mean, the people sometimes aren't amazing, but I thoroughly enjoy.
So you're here to say that New Jersey is not as bad as seen in The Sopranos?
No,
and stuff.
I think
yeah.
it's extreme. If you ever go, it's extremely entertaining. New Jersey should be the entertainment capital of the world because the people that live there are hysterical.
Awesome. Do you come from an Italian family?
Yeah, huge. Like, all we do is just, all my family does is just have sex, eat pasta, and then have more sex and have more kids. It's insane.
Sounds good.
I don't understand. Well, every time I go home for Christmas, I have like four new cousins. I'm like, this needs to end. And it's going to end with me. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So part of your story is growing up gay and coming out and everything to your family. Now, I would imagine if it's a traditional Italian old-fashioned family, it probably wasn't easy for you.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, I don't think coming out is ever super easy, but it wasn't really hard for me. I kind of got, like, blessed with an awesome family who, even my grandparents that are, like, straight off the boat Italian, they're like,
right.
I mean, I feel like half the population in Italy is gay. They just, like, you don't know who's gay. All the men keep each other on the mouth. You're like, I don't know what's happening. Who's gay? No one knows. But my grandparents are pretty cool. They, like, try to set me up with their Italian butcher in New York all the time. They're like, I know he's gay, by the way, he chops the meat and holds the meat. I'm like, that's disgusting. And I live 3,000 miles away, so I'm going to pass.
Yeah. This is cool. So at what age did you come out to your family?
18, I think I was 18. Yeah, 18. Yeah. Right after I graduated high school, I moved to San Francisco, and I was like, well, I'm living in San Francisco, and I'm going to art school, so if that doesn't tell you anything, you guys are idiots.
So you went to school for art?
Yeah, loosely. I lasted like 2 weeks, and then I dropped out. I was originally going, I'm an art school dropout. Yeah. I was not gay enough for art school. I couldn't last.
Yeah.
And then I lived in San Francisco for 2 years and just went to community college and kind of was like, I don't know what I want to do. I mean, in my mind, I always wanted to do stand-up and move to L.A. and work in the entertainment industry, but I was like, I am 18 and I'm living, like, I just moved across the whole country, so yeah. It was really fun to, like, live in San Francisco and spend, like, 2 years finding myself, I would say, and just kind of, like, figuring out who I want to be and, like, who I am and just partying and meeting, like, new people and, like, realizing that there's a bigger world than New Jersey.
Right.
So I did that, and then right before I turned 21, when I was just about 20, I moved to LA, and I was like, let's do this.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have a brother and a sister, actually. My brother lives in New York, and my sister lives in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Cool. So you guys are all over, like every modern family.
Yeah, for a while, actually, we were all in California. We all had, like, migrated out here like birds trying to avoid the winter, and then my brother lasted. My brother went to school out here, and my sister's a tattoo artist, so I mean, she gets to travel a lot too, but they all slowly moved back east. I think they miss the people and the they love the winter. I could handle the winter for like 2 weeks when I'm out. I'm good.
Same.
Cool. So you do stand-up comedy. Are you able to sustain yourself, any kind of lifestyle with that, or do you have to work?
Yeah, I mean, now it's been like such a journey and a road that where you like, I mean, you got to love the ride, right? Because it's like, mm-hmm. I mean, you make much more money on the road when you like leave LA, because in LA, you don't really get paid too much to do stand-up just because it's like, oh, there's a casting agent here, there's a talent agent. You make money in LA when you're on television.
Yeah.
Which I'm working for and going towards. But when I want to make like months of rent at a time, I go and I will leave for like a month and a half and do like 20 shows in 30 days with some friends, and it's a blast. And it's like, you get to see the world for free and you get paid to make people laugh. So, I mean, it's not bad living. It's hard. You like scrape by,
right.
And I'm talking scrape by until you really blow up and make it in the comedy scene. But I mean, I have nothing to complain about. Most of the shows that I do are for free, and I have no problem with it. It's like, as long as I could pay my rent every month, I can make my fun money another way, I guess.
That's true, yeah.
Sure.
Because, you know, that's what happens with artistic, creative people, you know, and, you know, you can't really go into an office job, you know, and you can't, you know, do a lot lot of jobs. So you choose to live a little, you know, a little more, let's say, moderate, mm-hmm. You know, and then hope that something's going to happen for you, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just have to think positive all the time. And I mean, I really surround yourself by people that are kind of in the same mm-hmm. mindset as you, and they kind of want to make their lives into something similar as you. I think that's what you have to do to kind of make it in LA and have like a positive. I mean, I know so many friends that like go crazy. They're like, I can't. I have to move back to Chicago, or I have to move back to Florida. Like, I can't handle this. Like, it's too much.
Right.
I thought I was going to do it, but I mean, I'm never giving up. I'd rather. I like can't work. I used to work in retail forever. Like, that's always my. I mean, I'm gay, so I'm an instant hire at any retail job. So, like, whenever I can't make money, I always have to go back to that and stuff. And it sucks. It's like I have a full-blown panic attack because I'm like, why am I here? I don't need to be here. I'm just doing this because I want more money. It's not, it's not like something I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I just have like full-blown panic attacks. I'm like, I can't do this. I would rather be slightly broke and do what I love than just do something for like pity money.
Yeah.
So just something to get by. Which is like, then you start to feel stuck, and that's the worst feeling. Feeling stuck in LA is like the worst.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
You have to have a desire to want to really be successful at mm-hmm. what you want to do in LA if you want to make
totally,
it.
Totally, because... yeah. It's either this or I'm dying underneath a bridge as like a homeless person addicted to hard drugs, because that's the only other way that I'm going out at this point.
There you go. Well, we're talking to Jordan Pease, who calls himself a gay comic, and you know, and but so you're so do you focus on gay issues in your comedy, or is it important?
No, not really. I mean, I make jokes. Like, I mean, so many people are like, "Oh, you're really funny for a gay comic," or you're like, I mean, just when people get intros, when a host will be like, "He's a really funny gay comedian." Right. Most of my material is not about me being gay. I mean, I make fun of myself a lot for being gay, but most of my audiences that I perform for are not gay audiences.
Right.
Like, I mean, when I go to perform in Colorado, I'm not expecting, or Denver, I'm expecting like a handful of gay people, and then mostly everyone's straight. I mean, I have no problem. Most of my fans and my audience are all straight, so I have no problem with. I mean, I think I'm not really a gay comedian. I'm like a comic who just happens to be gay.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. You're not like
so. It works out. Yeah. It works out really well that I can kind of go towards both audiences. It kind of works in my favor.
Yeah. I know.
Definitely.
Now, so you have a website. It's called TheJordanPease, PEASE.com. And I try to go there, but my antivirus won't let me go on the website. I don't know why. It just like it goes.
Really?
It just gives me like a background. And here, you want me to tell you what it says? Let me check this out because.
Yeah, that's crazy. It should work. I'll have to check it out.
I know. Look, I have like this virus and it says Black Hat SEO. Which, you know what that means? It means that it's not really a virus, but it's like maybe unacceptable ways to manipulate search engines and stuff. But I don't think that's what you're doing. It's just that...
No.
But you should know about this. Maybe you're a web designer or something.
That's weird because it came up on mine.
My web designer is now fired. as of today, you just fired him on air, which I'm totally fine with.
No. I'm not.
I want to talk to that piece of crap web designer. my website's amazing. If you've ever seen it, it's like... When it was done getting made, I was like, I do not deserve this website. This website's amazing. It has, like, videos, and it's interactive, and it's, like, fan mail. It's crazy.
It's really awesome. I have it up right now. I was able to get on it. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's just...
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's fun. It's, like, it kind of looks like a coffee shop. There's, like, condoms and, like, gold jewelry and bling and marijuana. Who knows? It's a mess, and it just narrates my life really well.
Wow.
Yeah,
I wish I could see it, man, because...
I've never had anyone ever had a problem with it.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this, Charlotte. Are you seeing like a background that's kind of wood background?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me tell you what it is. Do you want me to tell you what he did wrong here? And
tell me. Do it.
Or no, I don't think. No, this is fine. There's something about Viagra and Cialis here. I don't know why.
Really?
That is. Yeah. I don't know why.
That's exciting. It's Viagra advertising on my website. I mean, that's a really good demographic for me. I mean, I could totally sell Viagra if they're interested.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean...
I have some friends that take it for fun.
Now let me tell you, I mean, don't do anything yet until you figure this out, because that's just what I'm getting on my browser, and it means nothing. But at any point, it doesn't matter, because you also have you have Twitter, you have Facebook and everything.
Social media now, you don't even need a website. It's insane.
Exactly, right. Exactly, you know. And you can find pictures of you on Google and also all your Twitter and Facebook. Everybody mm-hmm. just check out Jordan Pease, PEASE, and you'll find out everything about you. Now, I see you already you have a book out, right? Tell us about that.
I do. I do have a book. It's called Accidentally Okay. It's like a comedic travel memoir, kind of about like just escaping life for a little bit and living in Europe, and kind of like that point where you're like, oh my God, I have no idea what I want to do with my life. And then it hits you.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about just kind of like, and it just has really common themes like love and just kind of like that feeling of like being isolated. And it's awesome. It's just, I like to call it my version of Eat, Pray, Love. It's like, eat, yeah. drink, dance in a foreign country, and just live life to the fullest.
Wow. So where did you live during that time?
In Verona, in Italy.
Wow. Oh, in Italy.
Nice.
Was that was that because it was your family background, your culture, or why did you pick Italy?
I've gone there a couple times before to, like, play soccer, because I used to play soccer really competitively, but I never, like, got to spend a long amount of time there, like 4 months, like I do in the book. But I wanted to, so I was just like, I got to do this. I got to go. I want to, like, see my culture and figure shit out and just really experience, like, kind of like the background and the history of where my family came from. So I was just blind, and I was like, I mean, I didn't get to meet any of my family. I don't really think they speak English that well, and I don't speak Italian that well, and they live in southern Italy, but it was just a blast to, like, wander and, like, kind of just get lost in a culture that, like, you don't really fit in. And I was, like, living in this really, I don't know if I would call it. It would be like our version. It was very conservative, a really conservative part of Italy.
Right.
So it was crazy to, like, be gay and be covered in tattoos. People would, like, stop me on the street and on the bus and, like, take pictures with me. It was kind of crazy.
Oh, my
and
God.
I was like, well, I'm living the dream. But it was crazy. Free. Everyone, like, loved it. It was super accepting. I never had a problem living there and being gay. And I made so many friends for life that I could just go to Italy now and stay with. And it was it's amazing. It's an amazing country.
It is amazing, but be careful who you hang out with and stuff, because look what Amanda Knox went through, you know?
I know, right? Oh, my God.
I know. Isn't that, like, the scariest thing? You know, you go to a foreign country and then you become involved in murder and shit.
Oh, my God.
You know?
That's been crazy, and who knows what really happened. So it's like everyone just gave up. They're like, no one knows what happened.
Yeah.
Screw it. No one believes anything. It's like, I remember seeing that they were showing her, like, her Lifetime movie on the plane where they, like, dubbed in Hayden Panettiere instead of her.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is the craziest story. I was like, this poor girl, she just wanted to have fun. She, like, got drunk, had sex with an Italian guy, and then woke up and her roommate was dead. And she's like, shit, yeah. And I'm getting blamed for it.
Right.
And she, I think she's just too embarrassed to be like, I was way too drunk or way too, because I think she said she was smoking. She was stoned, too, or she was, like, smoking.
Yeah, they were smoking pot and, like, stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. but they weren't hanging out with the girl that was killed. They were in
That's
a different,
what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, they were in a different house. They were in a boyfriend's house. So,
yeah,
but she,
like,
just came.
She
just came to the house, took a shower, and there was blood in the bathroom, and she didn't do anything. Oh, she didn't report that something was wrong. You know, I mean, it's a complicated story. But the bottom line is, they have no evidence that she did anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's
yeah.
The thing. Yeah,
it was just crazy for her to be stuck in a foreign jail for so long.
Exactly, for 4 years in Italian jail, you know. And granted, she was learning Italian when she was there because she was a college student. But at the same time,
that's the plus side. She now can speak Italian.
Yeah, I know.
Way to look on the bright
side.
She
learned Italian for free.
Exactly. So the book is Accidentally Okay by Jordan Pease. Everybody can get it on Amazon. I'm sure there's a link from your website as well. Go to the website, thejordanpease.com, or just Google him and you'll find everything about him. You're a very handsome guy. So you say you have a lot of tattoos too?
I do, yeah. My back and my arms, one of my arms is basically fully covered.
Wow.
Very cool.
Wow. Okay, well, whatever suits you. I'm not crazy about tattoos.
Whatever floats your boat.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Jordan, thank you so much for taking the time to call
us
this
morning.
Thank
you. I will talk to you guys soon.
Yes, and you are definitely a lot of fun. You passed the test, so you're welcome to come. You're welcome to come into the studio anytime.
Thank you. I will. That is duly noted.
Okay, Jordan. Take care. And again,
right,
wait a minute. Promote your shows once more. Oh, he hung up already. So we said Flappers on April 2nd.
April 2nd and then April 11th.
Yeah, at the John Lovitz comedy store or comedy club. At Universal, mm-hmm. Right. So, you guys can catch him there. He's a pretty fun guy. And
I bet that's fun. I bet he's a fun person to watch.
Yeah.
I always respect comedians so much.
Yeah, I know. I'm probably going to go. Maybe I'll go. I mean, the 2nd is Wednesday, and sounds interesting. Yeah, sometimes I go to, like, shows that when guests come on the show, and stuff. There's still a burlesque show that I need to go to. I owe it to the guest that was here.
That sounds fun.
I know. It's like every month they do a show, and she asked me to come, and I'm never free, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to go. She says it's amazing, you know.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
Yeah.
No, I have a high respect for comedians because if people don't laugh at you, then I feel like I would be crushed.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. That's why. And to remember all your material and to deliver it just the right way and all that. Yeah, it's hard being a comic. And that's why I don't understand why so many people want to do it, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just like seems everybody wants to do stand-up and many people do it. Mm-hmm. And
well, like you said, there's so many places in L.A., but it's all for free.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. But yeah, so they travel a lot, you know. And because, like, other parts of the country don't have a lot of comedians, so they'll, like, pay your way to come out there and perform.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what many comedians do.
Which is nice.
Yeah, so that's how he said he pays his rent and stuff. But, that's another thing, you know. I mean, when people give up, like, let's say a comfortable lifestyle for the sake of doing what they really want to do, that's admirable, you know. Not everybody can do that, you know.
It is.
Although you got to get a fucking job, man. You
but
know
when you, I feel like when you come to LA, that's something that you kind of to chase your dreams. You kind of give up the normal life,
right?
And I mean, so many people, I mean, in myself included, work in the service, like the restaurant industry,
right?
Industry and a waitressing and bartending to just pay their bills while they try and chase what they really want to do.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the way to do it. You know, I mean, you got to get a job. A lot of people come here and they give up and they leave LA to go back home because, hey, I didn't make it. Well, you know what? Get a job first so you can pay your bills.
Yeah. And then it takes
do that,
more than a couple months.
It does, you know.
But that also separates the people that really want to do it and will succeed from the people that kind of half-hearted.
Yeah, that are just dreamers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you got to do the footwork. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So a couple of other things. This one sort of touched me because it's a... this Colorado dad is has been in a fight with his ex-wife who took their daughters to Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they were going through a divorce and they lived here. And he actually got physical custody of the kids. I don't know why. I mean, usually the mom gets it, you know?
Yeah.
I think what it is that she was trying to get him out of here and he didn't want to. So I guess under the law, she can't do it. So he would get the custody.
Okay.
Excuse me. So that was the court order, but then she turned around, took the kids, and flew to Argentina without permission.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, without telling anybody. So now, for 3 years, they've been living there.
3 years?
3 years.
And did he not go after them?
3.5 years ago. Okay, so that's the thing, though, is that he's been trying to go through the courts to do this, through the legal system. I can tell you that we have, in fact, the show that comes on next right here, Answers for the Family. The host, his name is Alan Cardoza, and what he does is he actually recovers kidnapped and lost children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Excuse me. Yeah. So they do that, you know, and so I don't know if he was able to, if they use that kind of a service or something, you know, to recover the kids and stuff, but they did go through the courts, and apparently they're saying that he deserves to have the kids back, you know. So this went to courts in Argentina and stuff, and they decided that the mother cannot have claim to the kids in Argentina. You know, she can't have them there. Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, it is kidnapped. Like, she's just taking the kids after he got custody.
Exactly. They call it child abduction and international abduction. And... yeah, so, you know, just because it's your kids, you can't just do whatever you want, you know. I mean, there's certain rules. You have to answer to the other parent. And And this happens quite a bit, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that some people do that. They go back to their own country, to their country of origin, and they take the kids with them even though they're not allowed to.
Yeah.
So that's why people like Alan that I mentioned have all these jobs where they actually go into foreign countries.
What a fulfilling job.
Yeah, I know. You know? But obviously it's dangerous. It's risky.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you go in, you don't necessarily go through the authorities or anything because it's all like, you know, it's like you got to go in, get the kids and leave.
It takes so long.
Yeah. And you don't want to take the kids and make them frightened either, you know.
Yeah, so you have to build that trust.
Yeah. So there's certain ways where they treat the kids and handle them and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty... So I'm happy for the dad because you know what? Fathers don't have many rights in this country.
No, they don't. And the fact to get custody is a huge deal.
It really is, especially in California too.
Yeah.
You know, because they always, for some reason, they're not fair to the fathers. You know that here in California, if you're a man and you live with a woman for a certain amount of time and she has kids, then you become responsible for them too.
Yeah, well, if you live together for a certain amount of time, you're technically classed as married in like a household.
With kids?
Just in general. If you've lived together for a certain amount of time, the state sees you as
married?
Married.
Where, here?
Yeah, in California, if you've lived together for a certain amount of time.
Wow.
I don't know how long it is. But yeah, you're technically seen to be, obviously you're not, but you have equal rights and...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty new. I didn't know that. That's cool. So maybe I'll just live with someone and I'll be able to get like tax benefits and stuff.
Well,
but the thing is, I can see where they come from because they want to do what's best for the kids and they want to have someone responsible for them. But it also shows that they really treat men unequally here and try to put all the burden on them, you know, and it's just not right. And I remember when I was getting divorced, I wanted to have the kids because I felt I don't want to live without my kids. And but, you know, I went to attorneys, I went to men's rights groups and stuff. And everybody told me you don't have a chance, you know, so just be happy with your joint custody. And, yeah. You know,
it's sad, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, I mean, every divorce is sad. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no winners in divorce, you know. And there's never the right age or the right time, I don't think, you know. It's just, it's never good, you know. So you want to try and stay together, but also don't, I don't know if staying together for the kids is a good idea.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But you know what? I'm starting to wonder about that. You know? Because, I mean, even though I still would have maybe preferred to be with my kids and stuff, even though, you know, I wasn't getting along with her mom, but then again, in hindsight, it's easy to say.
Definitely.
You know, you don't want them to see all the garbage that goes on with their parents.
Definitely. And I think that also takes its toll.
Yeah.
It does, you know?
It does. It really does, yeah. Okay. I guess they're also talking about college graduates here, which is a pretty sad story here. They're saying that 260,000 graduates work in minimum wage jobs. You know, I mean, you put in 4 years of school. Granted, you know, today going getting a bachelor's degree is the minimum. You know, it used to be high school was the minimum, but today you got to go to college just so people will look at you. You know, but at the same time, you know, to spend all that time and you do have education. You know, I mean, 4 years is 4 years. You know, and it should be worth and count for something, but yet. These people are not getting paid anything. So the bottom line is you go to college and there's no guarantee you'll get a good paying job.
I mean, definitely. I know so many people. I mean, I came out with a degree and I'm not really. I still waitress. And,
well, but you chose this LA, path, though.
LA's different. But I know a lot of people that are minimum wage, sat behind a desk, came out with a great degree, 4.0.
Wow.
And this year I have a bunch of friends graduating and none of them have a job yet. They're all starting to freak out. They graduate now. It's April in a month.
Yeah.
And none of them have any idea what they're going to do.
Wow.
They're like, well, do I move home? Like... And move back. Yeah, they have no idea
scary,
what to do.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, once you're out, you have to go move back home. It's kind of like going backwards, you know?
Yeah, completely. They have no idea. what to do.
Yeah.
They're stuck. They just can't get, there's just no jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. People are not talking much about it, but I really think the economy sucks right now. You know, we've been talking about recovery and everything, but I felt that people the past few months have not had money to spend. Mm-hmm. I just feel it. I don't know, in business and whatever, talking to people, but it's hard anyway, you know,
yeah.
because it's just, you know, there's a lot of high unemployment. There's like record number of people graduating colleges too, you know, so you're competing with a lot of different people. And that's why you gotta, if you can, take my advice, if I can give anybody one advice, is go and get a master's degree or something. If you're going to be like, and I'm not talking about, you know, creative people who are not going to go to college
yeah.
or who go to college because they feel they should, but people that believe they want to build a big career and they want to have sort of a guarantee they're going to get a good paying job. Get yourself a master's degree.
Yeah, I definitely think
anyway, we're totally out of time, Charlotte. So let's say goodbye to everyone. Thank you all for being tuned in. We'll be back tomorrow. We
yes,
got
we
guests
will.
In the studio for the rest of the week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So, Charlotte, have a nice
Thank
day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.